turkey. Last week, we looked at one of my favorite stories out of the Bible. You know, it's hard for me to say that because there are so many great stories in the Bible. So many stories that will speak to us at different times and phases in our lives. But last week was the one about fishing. Peter went fishing. Jesus told him where to catch all the fish. But the point of that sermon was to make you look at your salvation experience and to confirm that you made a true heart and mind commitment to Christ. That's what's required. That's what Peter did when he was confronted with the truth of who Jesus actually was. This week, we're going to look at something a little different. We're going to look at what it means to live a Christian life. And this sermon also has a couple more of my favorite stories in it. We're going to get into those here shortly. But before we get started, let us pray. So bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we are grateful. Grateful to be in your house and to spend just part of your day with our church family and with taking the time to study your word, Lord. I just ask you to open our hearts and our minds and that we can be convicted of areas we need to improve and that we can go out from here and we can work on those improvements, Lord, so we can grow closer to you on a daily basis. Lord, there is so much that we need to know and time is running out. I ask your help in that, and I ask you to watch over this meeting, that it's being conducted in a manner that brings honor and glory to you, and us all that in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to start with the opening scriptures from the book of Psalms. It's Psalms chapter 1. It is verse 1. It starts at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This is the key to Christian life. This is the way a Christian behaves. I want you to notice, we don't participate in the way of sinners. We don't do what sinners do. But we actually go one step further than that. We do things that Christ expects us to do, that the Bible tells us. It's not that we don't have interaction with sinners. Jesus had a lot of interaction with sinners. And we are also, we're not supposed to stay away from them. We are just not supposed to be involved in what they're involved in. We are called to be a witness to them. That's our job. But our lives need to be led in a way that has some influence and some honesty to them. Something so when people see us, they see the truth of God, not a hypocrite. We need to make sure that we can influence what they do. We can help them see the light so they can change their ways. So that's the first behavior I want you to notice of a Christian life. And I want you then to apply that to your own life. How are you doing? Is there a separation between your lifestyle as a Christian and the lifestyle of your non-Christian friends? Or are you still doing the same things you did before? Because you're called to something different, something better. You're called to be set aside. You're set apart, I should say, is what you are. You're set apart as a believer. You need to make sure that you live life apart. It's got to be different somehow. If there's not a difference, there should be. I will tell you that. We are not only told not to participate in their lifestyle, but to be their example. And the way we do that is we determine where our source of joy comes from. What makes us happy? That's what we're looking for here. The Bible tells us that we should be wrapped up in the things of God and that we should not have time for the things of this world instead of the other way around. Too often we are wrapped up in the things of this world and we are not setting aside time for God. We need to get that reversed. As Christians, part of our walk means we reverse that. How many of you all found time this past week to go to work, go to the store, maybe watch TV, scan social media, read a book? I know that's going out of style pretty much, but maybe read a book. You can raise your hand. How many people did something like this week? I figured pretty much everybody. All right, there you go. I don't want you to raise your hand for this one because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of you studied your Bible at home? Or attended a Bible study here at the church? or even took time to simply pray to God? Where's your time being spent? You gotta think about that. How do we correct our bad behavior? Because we should see our bad behavior. Just a few little comparisons here. Step one, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray. You have to pray. This is where we have to start, because prayer will change our focus. You know, when you are asked to pray for somebody, you should actually pray for them right there. You don't want to forget that. You don't want to say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then when I think about a few weeks later, I say, I wonder how they're doing. I forgot to pray for them. You got to pray. But when you pray for somebody, you are investing in their lives. You're asking God to be a part, to watch what is going on, to have His hand in everything. And it's not that God won't do it if you don't pray, but it's once you start making that connection with that person and God and a prayer request, it'll change your focus. It'll change your relationship with people. You'll be praying for them. A little different than just having a friend or having a friend who prays for you. It's two different things. So we need to start by praying. Then we turn to where our delight is found. Where do we get our joy? It should be found in His law, which James explained in James chapter 1, it's verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Set aside your sinful ways. Quit acting like a heathen. Start acting like a Christian. Study your Bible, because that's what's going to save your soul. Knowledge of what's going on. Since none of us were alive, right? I know you weren't either. None of us were alive to see Jesus walk this face of this earth. Our knowledge of Him comes from His Word. Once we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, then we have the Holy Spirit helping us to understand. But we start in His Word. And you need to spend time in His Word, because it's able to save your soul. But salvation is not the end of the journey. It's the beginning of the journey. Once you are saved, things change. Once the law of God has reached our innermost being and we understand our plight, and our plight is of damnation without His saving grace, then our job as a Christian has just begun. He goes on to say, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now that's a big one. We are to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. In other words, we're supposed to be students of His word, and then we are to do what we have learned His word wants us to do. That's part of a Christian life, doing what God expects, doing what the Bible says. How do we know what the Bible instructs us to do? Read it. Not that hard. Not that complicated. Read it. Pick it up. It's full of instructions. It has all kinds of advice for you. All kinds of examples of how we should live. All kinds of just knowledge that is required to walk a Christian walk. When you're in a situation you don't know what to do, it's probably your fault because you didn't read your Bible. Bible will tell you what to do at all times. Believe it or not. All you need to know is what it says. But we're supposed to be hearers. We are to prayerfully study it. Not just once, or even once in a while, but daily. You should be studying your Bible daily. And I'm not talking speed reading. I've said this before. Through the Bible in a year is a great idea. You can do it if you want to. It'll give you a nice overview, but it's not studying the Bible. Unless you have a lot of time. But you should study. Sit down and pick a passage and study it. If you don't understand something I've said in a sermon, go study it. Come back and ask me about it. I'll help you. We'll walk through it together. But studying is the key. You have to know. There's a big difference between simply hearing, which means studying or hearing a sermon, and actually going out and doing something. That is a major difference. Whether you want to impact the world or simply those around you, the Bible instructs you to go do it. It says, as you go, make witnesses. Or be a witness and make disciples. Going on in verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So this is a perfect illustration of what can motivate us, what should be motivating us. It's only when we get tired of seeing certain things that we're willing to change them. That's what happens. So if you talked earlier with the men, if you ever wondered why they put mirrors in gym? In a gym, you go to there, it's because they're all a bunch of vain, egotistical people. No, that is not the reason. They put them in there so they can see their form and their technique, and they can see improvement. Also, if you go to the gym every day and you look in the mirror every day, you'll see improvement over time. At least that's what they tell me. The Bible actually works the same way. If you go into the Bible every day, you will find areas in your life that need improvement. And the more you strengthen those areas, the easier it is to go back into those passages. It's like, it's just a mirror. It's a, just how it works. The Bible, the law, is a mirror. It's to show us that we are not worthy of salvation. We are not worthy of God's saving grace. We are worthy of eternal damnation in hell. Well, in the lake of fire. But when you look into the Bible, you see that. You understand how great of a gift God actually gave you by sending his son. And it makes you want to make an improvement. That's the purpose of it. It's like looking in the mirror. I do have to sidetrack a little bit here. And when I was going through this thing on the mirrors, I reminded what Denny told me one day. You got Denny's attention on that one, I can tell you right now. Denny had just watched his favorite movie. It was Snow White. That's his, I don't know if y'all knew that. Denny's favorite movie. And he decided he would just ask his mirror questions. So he went, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror said, I don't know, get out of the way, old man. I can't see anybody else. No. But anyway, we study our Bible to see areas that need improvement. We also study our Bible so we are prepared. Now you're thinking, what am I being prepared for? Am I being prepared for eternity? Yes, you are. Are you being prepared as a witness? Yes, you are. The big thing you need to be prepared for is battle. Spiritual warfare is happening all around us every minute of every day. Satan is trying to figure out how to get into your life. He's trying to figure out how to wreck your life. He's trying to get you so wrapped up in everything else that you don't have time for God. We need to be prepared for that kind of battle. We need to take an active part in the spiritual warfare going on around us. And we need to do that because we are called to be doers, not just hearers. It's hard to be a doer if you do not know what you are doing. Right, Denny? Just kidding. I had to throw that one back at you also to make sure you're still with me. Thankfully, God put some examples in the Bible for us to follow. We need to look at these examples. The first one we're going to look at is probably a little more extreme than most of us will ever face. Hopefully. Prayerfully, we will never be in a situation where we will face death for our beliefs. But if that would ever happen, these three young men gave us a great example. They were about to be tossed into a fiery furnace. This is Daniel 3. And they had an answer. They were told, worship the king as God or be tossed in. Starting in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now that is probably the bravest statement made by mankind in the history of the world. Our God can save us from you. He can save us from that fiery furnace. He may not. Might not be in his will to do that, but if he wants to, he can, because that's the kind of God we serve. And if he doesn't want to save us, we're fine with that, because we would rather follow the true God than your false gods. Now that's an example of Christian living. Are you willing to make a statement that bold when you are facing imminent death? Would you say, no thank you, I'll stick with God, even if it kills me? That's what these guys did. They showed they had a solid belief in God and a solid resolution to follow him. What would you have done in their position? Would you have been willing to die? I will tell you, Christian living means dying to yourself to start with. You live for Christ. You don't live for yourself any longer. So if you are living for Christ when a situation like that comes up, the answer is simple. Well, I'm not that fond of being burned alive, but you know what? I live for Christ. And if that's what I have to do, that's what I have to know. A whole lot easier to make decisions when your focus is in the right spot. Maybe you'll never face that. Maybe you'll never face a time where you are told to recant your faith or to worship man. That time is coming. Hopefully you won't be here for it. You'll already be saved and you'll be taken into rapture with the rest of the Christians. But if not, and I will tell you what, that can happen any day. That can happen any day. That time of being forced to make a decision happens at the 3.5-year mark of a 7-year tribulation. And that tribulation starts shortly after the rapture happens. So if the rapture happened today, which it possibly could, we're not waiting for anything else to happen, that means in 4 years or so, probably, you could be facing that if you're left behind. What are you going to say? What would you say in that situation? Probably most of us won't face that. We won't face an opportunity to die for our faith. Which I will tell you, if you're going to wind up in heaven, there's probably no better way to wind up in heaven than being killed for being a Christ follower. It's probably the best excuse for showing up. What happened to you? They killed me because I followed you. Be the greatest answer ever. Now, if they found me hiding in the outhouse out back, and they shot me through the hole, that's probably not the best answer. Standing bold for your faith will be much better. But there's another great example of what it means to live a Christian life, and this is something you may have already faced. Being told not to talk about your faith. Now that could have happened at work, or a social gathering, or maybe even the house of a friend or a family member that you've been to. They don't want to hear you talk about Jesus. What'd you do? How do you respond? What'd you say, Kathy?
I'm sorry. It came out. It said not go.
Not go. Well, that's one option. You should probably go and still talk. Talk till they throw you out. I don't know. I mean, really, you got to be careful what you do in that situation. But if you are living in Christ, the answer of what we should do is actually found in the Bible. It's the story of Peter and John. They're preaching and teaching, and they're witnessing to people everywhere after Christ had ascended into heaven. And on this particular occasion, we're going to look at, they healed a man. And that man was running around telling everybody what they had done. And that's a great story. You should look that up if you don't know it. He says, I don't have money, but what I have, I give you. Anyway, you should look that up. Anyway, we're going to pick it up here where the Pharisees are mad. The chief priests and the elders are all upset with everything Peter and John are doing. They have a little secret meeting off to the side, and they come up with this decision. And we pick up in Acts 4, verse 18. It says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John were told not to even mention Jesus' name anymore by the people who were in charge. These were the people that not only did they cost you your livelihood, they cost you your social standing. You would become a social outcast. Not just unemployed. You would be out. And they said, well, you figure out if we should listen to you or God, but as far as we're going to go with God. We're going to do what God has called us to do. In fact, he even went one step further, and this was one of the most amazing things about this story that makes it stand out so much. I want you to see what they did. If you would go down in that story a little bit more, they go meet with the other disciples and other early leaders, and they tell them everything that has happened, and they decide to pray about it. Their prayer is the shocking thing. It's in verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. That's a totally different direction than most of us would have went. We would have went back and we would have said, Lord, please help me not be killed for speaking in your name. or Lord, remove these people from my life, or Lord, give me an opportunity where the Pharisees and the chief priests and all those people aren't listening. Give me something else. We never would have asked for the boldness to go directly back to it and do it again, which is what they did, by the way. They did go boldly back out and do it all over again. They did not ask for deliverance or a freedom to avoid the problem. They asked for the strength to be bold. And again, what would you have done? What have you done in the past? Have you been quiet? Honestly, as a supervisor, I don't know what I would say if I told somebody, you can't talk about Jesus at work, which I would never do, but I couldn't imagine what I would say back to them if they said, you know, whether I need to listen to you or God, that's for you to figure out, but I'm going to listen to God. How would you actually respond to that if you were in those positions? That's the best answer you can have. Try it. You have a supervisor who says you can't talk about Jesus? Go tell him to read that verse, or take that verse and read it to him. Or just say it in your own words. Stand up. Be bold. I'm going to sum up just a small part of what we've been talking about here about Christian living, about what it's like to lead a Christian life. There are five things that I've written down here. You have to pray. We know that. You need to study. You know that. We need to live out God's instructions every day, all circumstances, every situation. You need to be a witness everywhere you go. And you need to be bold. God does not call us to be meek. He calls us to be bold for Him. Doesn't mean obnoxious, it means bold. It's not a complete list. There's so much more to Christian living, but if you can work on these five things and you can get them right, there's everything else going to fall right into place for you. Be bold. That's all I can tell you. Be bold. That's the biggest part of it. That is the starting point. So I want you to think about where you are in your Christian life compared to that list, and then I pray you improve. I want each of you to be strong in your faith and strong in your walk. So let's go out together and let's make an impact for God on our family and our friends and our community, actually the whole world. Time is running short. There are some takeaways. You will never know God until you pray. You want to get to know God better? Pray more. Have daily, constant conversations with God. Pray, 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 pray. You will never know His will until you study His Word. People come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm not sure what God's will is for my life. And I say, what did you do with the very last thing you knew you were supposed to do? Did you follow it? Or did you ignore it? If you've ignored it, you're stuck. God's not going to tell you anymore about His will until you act in obedience to the last thing you were told to do. Because either you act in obedience or you are disobedient. Even if you do not make any decision, if you don't take any step, any direction, you are in disobedience if you have not followed the last step. The easiest way to know God's will for your life is to study His Word, though. Get in there and see. Because He gives you the answers for the problems that you're going to be facing. And you will never impact others for God's kingdom until you live out God's instructions, what God says. You have to know what God says. You need to live it out, and then you'll make an impact. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for the opportunity to be here today. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the people that You have just recorded their actions and their lives, Lord, the inspiration they are to us. Lord, we're so thankful for all that. We are thankful You've sent us the Holy Spirit so we can be bold. When the time comes, we can stand in the face of adversity. We can stand up for You. We can be a good soldier for Your kingdom. Lord, as we go into a time of an altar call, if there's anybody here that does not have the right relationship with You, we'd all love to see them come forward and get that right before it's too late. Lord, we thank You for everything You are doing. We ask You continue to watch over us as we finish up a few more things here today. Make sure that we are staying within your will, Lord. Lord, just show the hurting that you love them, and show those who are physically hurting also, Lord, that you are in control of all things. And we ask all of this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Well, somewhere.